say. I fucked him, he fucked me, we fucked. He's my boyfriend, I missed him, that's what you do. Logan's bad eye is still too swollen for me to gauge an expression, but his good eye goes as wide as it can. Carlos's expression, on the other hand, doesn't change.
And where is this Tyler now? Carlos asks.
Ricky has him. I'm going to go talk with him myself, says Logan.
Carlos takes another puff, then rests his cigar on an ashtray sitting right by that still barely bubbling glass of champagne. He stands.
Very good. But please, before you kill him, find out exactly from whom he got his hands on one of my drones.
There are two things inside those 18 words that snap my attention up to Carlos real, real hard and cause my breath to catch in my throat. Logan nods, gives me a shit-eating grin, and goes, closing the door behind him and leaving me and Carlos alone. Carlos taps his fingers on the table twice and then clicks his tongue against the roof of his mouth 5 times. I find myself acutely aware of the specifics of everything happening at the moment. He picks up a champagne glass and takes a sip. Not the champagne glass, a champagne glass, which was intended to be my champagne glass. Shit. Then he wanders over to the tray of tamales I requested, which have appeared in my absence, and picks one up. He smells it.
They are very good. You are right to enjoy them. That is, assuming you actually do.
He cocks his head, as if he's asking me a question. I say nothing. He keeps the tamale in his hand as he wanders over to me.
Oh, my sweet Madison. It is very hard to be me. I know, I know. What could be hard about it, right? I have money, I have power, but that all comes at a great cost. Responsibility. Heavy is the head that wears the crown, as they say.
He's circling me now, like a shark. At least as far as I understand the way sharks behave. Or it could be like a vulture circling an animal, waiting for it to die. Either way, it's not a comforting feeling.
People think I am crazy. I know this. Which is good. Because it means that all the work I have done to make people believe I am is working. Can I ask you, do you think I am crazy?
He's behind me, leaning over my shoulder, pulling my hair back to whisper the question into my ear.
Or perhaps you just think I am stupid. Love. Sick. Controlled by my...
He presses his crotch into my ass. My ass that is only covered by this thin dress, since I don't have any panties on. I saw Tyler take them.
Weirdo.
I close my eyes and try to keep breathing.
You know, Carlos goes on, when I hired you to plan my daughter's wedding, I liked you immediately. You did not seem intimidated by me, and I appreciated that very much. So many people work so hard to please me that when I meet someone who seems like they are strong and have the courage of convictions, I like that, especially in a woman. You, in particular, reminded me of another woman I felt that way about once.
Oh, Jesus, please don't say...
Carolina. You know about Carolina, yes? You know who she was? I assume you do, since you talked about her the other night.
I don't nod. I don't say yes. I continue standing still as he circles around the front of me, holding that goddamned tamale. The combination of the tamale smell with the cigar smoke is making me want to throw up. Or maybe it's just the fear that I can't deny is creeping in now.
When I discovered that you had begun working for Peter Flanagan, I was surprised, shocked. I do not know the word. But I could not believe that you, this woman who reminds me so much of a woman I once knew, would find herself associated with the same man. That is quite a coincidence. Don't you think that's quite a coincidence?
He's inches from my face. I can smell the cigar and champagne on his breath. Pete, I summon the will to say.
I'm sorry?
His name wasn't Peter. It was just Pete, as far as I know. There is a pause as he looks at me curiously, then smiles.
Ah, yes, very good. So, tell me, how was it that you came to work for Pete? After you and I met and you spent all my money.
I open my mouth to speak, but he puts his tobacco-stained finger against my lips.
Shh, shh, shh. You did spend my money. Whether or not it is your fault is beside the point. You did, in fact, spend it. So, how did you come to work at Pete's? Exactly. Where did the idea come to you from?
There is a shiver running down my spine now. Moments ago, he told Logan to find out where Tyler got hold of one of Carlos's drones. And now he's asking me questions about how I came to work at Pete's. Which, as I told Tyler, was because of the flyer I saw at the drone store. Or warehouse, or whatever the fuck.
Why?
I summon the voice to ask.
Because, he says, pressing his face directly into mine. I want to know precisely how long you've been working for the Drug Enforcement Administration of the United States of America.
The crashing of waves is all I hear. Then,
Madison, you don't look well. Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me. You still haven't eaten. And from what you say, you had quite the workout. So here, please, please, I want you to eat.
He holds up the fucking tamale. I try to lick my lips, but there's no saliva. So, raspy and barely audible, I eke out.
I'm not eat,
he screams, right before he squeezes my cheeks, forcing my jaws open, and shoves the sweet, mushy corn husk violently into my mouth.
Chapter 23 Tyler. The first thing I notice about the room Ricky leads me into is what it doesn't have. Furniture. At all. It appears to be pretty much empty, but that also means it isn't outfitted with any kind of electrified torture bed like they strapped Stallone to in Rambo First Blood Part 2, so I'm feeling pretty good about things right now. Although I was curious how I would take having electrodes and shit strapped to my junk. Maybe Maddie and I can find out if we make it out of this. You're a piece of fucking work, man, you know that? Ricky says as he closes the door behind us and tosses my rucksack on the floor. Thanks, I'll take that as a compliment. Hey, I don't really give a shit what happens to me, so do me a favor, would you, and go fucking find Maddie? Orders are for me to wait with you until Logan gets here. I'll go as soon as I can. If that motherfucker hurts her, I will rip his spine out through his fucking dickhole. Man, Ricky says, shaking his head, will you just fucking dial it back for a second? No. I really wish I could, believe me, but I don't think I have the switch for that. He sighs. What the fuck were you thinking coming down here? We had a deal. I gave her a sat phone. She didn't call like she was supposed to. He nods. You don't trust me, do you? Gee, is it obvious? Well, he says, rubbing his hand over his mouth. That's fine and all. But if something happens to Maddie tonight, know that you did this shit. We stare at each other for a long beat as my fingers tighten into fists. Not because he said it, but because, fuck, I know he's right. And then the door opens, and in walks good old Logan, carrying his AK in one hand, and a fucking baseball bat in the other. Which is just adorable. You guys got a league? I ask. Shit, I didn't bring my mitt. Logan looks at Ricky and gestures with his chin to the wall behind me, which is when I notice for the first time the handcuffs bolted there. Ricky grabs me, marches me over, and locks my arms above my head into the metal bracelets. As he's backing away, he gives me a look that's half, I'm sorry, and half, don't fuck me here. Wow, I say as he steps back, leaving me hanging there, literally. Logan, I know we don't know each other that well, but I had no clue you were into the kinky shit. Logan rests his rifle against the wall where he's standing. Ricky makes for the door. I hope to fuck to go find Maddie, but Logan stops him with something that sounds to my ear like, No, quedarse. Ricky says some other shit to him in Spanish I don't understand, and Logan answers back. Ricky again tries to leave, but now Logan shouts,
Quedarse!
Which causes Ricky to put his hands up and step back into the corner. He looks at me with a tilt to his head that suggests an apology, and one raised eyebrow that says, I fucking tried. And even though there are a thousand other things that should be on my mind at present, the only thought I have just now is, I wonder if he can raise both eyebrows or just the one. And then it dawns on me. If he's not leaving this room, then who the fuck is going to protect Maddie? Logan walks over to me now, baseball bat propped on his shoulder. It's kind of hard to take him seriously with his face all fucked up and him sauntering like a little leaguer who just got called to the plate, but it makes it a tad bit easier to take him seriously the moment after the bat crashes into my ribs. He smiles just before the windup, and swinging with all his force, he lands the boomstick in more or less the same area where Ricky punched me. I'm crediting the fact that it knocks the wind out of me more to Ricky having already tenderized my flesh and less to the mighty power that is lame-ass Logan, which I've decided is his new nickname. But no matter the reason, it does smart a teeny bit, and I wince. My knees buckle, and I feel the tug of the cuffs on my wrists as they pull at my skin and keep me from collapsing. It's a simple but effective way to torture a person, I have to admit. You can beat on them all you want, but they can't retreat. They're totally exposed. And when they finally do break down, the cuffs rip and tear at the flesh of their wrists and threaten to pull their shoulders out of their sockets. Solid. And way less messy than cutting somebody up with a chainsaw. Anyway. Strike one, I manage to cough out. Okay, Logan says, nodding and backing up to stare at me. So my uncle is chatting with Maddie, and you and I are going to have a little talk too, and then we'll see if everybody's stories line up. How's that sound? Like you pulled that question out of a Steven Seagal movie from the 90s, but whatever. Continue. He closes his eyes and takes a breath.
Where did you get the drone?
He asks.
What drone? I ain't got no drone.
Man, just don't!
He slams the bat against the floor. It's a wood floor and a wood bat, and the sound reverberates through the room with a rich tribal tone that causes me to think of a Kodo drum from Japan. There's a reason I allow my mind to wander. For a long time, I thought I couldn't control it. I actually think I probably could if I wanted to. But I don't. Because then, I would have to be present. And for years, being present meant being present in a shitty situation that I hated, or caused pain, or both. I've been finding lately that with Maddie, my mind doesn't wander as much, because when I'm with her, where I am is exactly where I want to be. But here, now, a situation like this, I got no problem letting my brain saunter off. It's what's going to keep me from giving my power away to the fact that in theory I should be intimidated, because I won't be. Not by this fuck bucket. Logan continues talking.
We know that the guy we were buying our drones from was working for the DEA. And we know that they were tagging our own fucking drones to see if they could figure out the shit they were too stupid to figure out any other way, which is why we stopped using them. And then lo and fucking behold, Maddie shows up, and then the very next day, a drone that we confirmed from the serial number was one of ours from a shipment we never picked up because we fucking figured out what was going on, shows up dive bombing my uncle's house.
I glance at Ricky, who shakes his head a tiny bit and looks to the ground. Logan doesn't see the exchange, I don't think, and continues.
So my question is, who is it who supplied you with the fucking drone? I mean, I know you aren't fucking DEA, so how'd you get it?
Fucking Ricky. Piece of shit lying cocksucker. Was Maddie right? Was she somehow fucking dragged into this thing before it even began? Ricky's looking at me with a tight grimace now. Is he worried I'm gonna blow his cover? He goddamn well should be. Fuck you, bro. I take a breath and say, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. It's Maddie's. She bought it. She didn't know I was coming down here. I just didn't like the idea of your uncle and his shriveled old fucking cocaine dick near her, so I borrowed it to make sure she was okay. I know there's no way he'll believe me. Why would he? It's the truth. With a lunge that shows a level of spry agility I have heretofore not seen from lame ass, he cracks me again in the same spot. This one I feel. It runs through my stomach and into my back like, well, like fire. Which sucks. But I can't help it. I burst out laughing.
Oh, shit! Nice try, bro, but strike two!
Logan is huffing a little, partially from the labor and partially from his anger. I'm coughing and laughing at the same time, stomping my feet to shake off the burn, and then I throw my head back and howl at the ceiling. This is bar none the best Christmas ever! I scream. I'm not actually going crazy. I just want him to think I am. Or I might actually just be going crazy. It's hard to tell. I glance again at Ricky with a, I'm guessing, maniacal smile on my face. He looks pained. Good, he should. It's nothing compared to the pain he's going to feel if I get out of this shit. I wonder how far he's willing to let Logan beat on me to keep from blowing his cover. I have a feeling we won't have to wait too long to find out. Shut up! Logan shouts over my howling and carrying on, and he winds up for another swing. Stop! That's me. Stop!
Okay. Okay. I'll tell you what you want to know.
Logan lowers the bat and steps back again.
It's me, okay? It's me.
I'm the DEA agent. Maddie doesn't know. I've been gone for a long time, but I knew her when we were kids, and when I started working for the DEA, I discovered that she had this relationship with Castillo, so I've been using her to try and get close to your organization. Okay, it's me. It's my fucking drone. She's my informant. It's all me. Christ. I wonder if that story sounds as stupid to Logan as it does to me. Logan gets an impish grin, which is pretty macabre on his busted kisser. Huffs out a half laugh and says,
you're no fucking DEA agent.
No, I'm not. He shakes his head.
Nope.
Yeah, you're sure? He nods.
Yeah, I'm sure. I know exactly who you are.
I'm super curious what that means.
Oh,
do you? Well, okay, Agatha Christie, then please, by all means, tell me what you think you know. He grins and says,
Senior EOD Technician Petty Officer First Class Tyler Hudson Morgan. Birth date March 15th, born to Jack Edwin and Barbara Ann Morgan. Power forward for his high school basketball team. Rejected the receipt of the Purple Heart for injuries sustained in combat and released from the Navy under a disability discharge. Owner of the patent for the Blast Seeker Artificial Intelligence Augmentation, currently utilized by the U.S. government, a dozen private corporations, and in negotiation for use by half a dozen other tech and research companies as well. Technology actually created by Nadir al-Madani, now deceased. At present, the proclaimed boyfriend of Madison Clayton, chained to a wall in Ensenada, Mexico, and in a world of fucking trouble.
He gets right up in my face and echoes back to me some shit I jokingly said to him the first time we met.
Dude, I know everything about you.
I am never, ever speechless. I don't always speak, but I am never at a loss for words. Hey, look at that. Logan has the internet, and I'm not at a loss now either. Fuck this asshole.
Where'd you get the fucking drone?
He shouts. I told you the truth the first time, man. It's hers. She intended to buy it to fucking do the wedding planning shit, probably for you assholes.
So you're telling me that she just happened to be working for Pete, and she just happened to buy a drone that was tagged by the DEA to track back to us?
I glance at Ricky with a clenched jaw. Yeah, I know. It's hard for me to believe it, too. But that's how it happened.
So you don't know nothing about the cops, or the federales, or the DEA, or none of that shit. You're just some lovesick asshole spying on your woman.
Yup. Pretty much. Can I ask you a question?
You want to ask me a question?
I do. He sizes me up. What the fuck he's looking to determine with me hanging here, I'm not sure, but he eyeballs me for a long moment before saying,
"Okay, what?"
Logan, that's not a very Mexican name. Are you his nephew by marriage, or were you, like, adopted, or... But that's as far as I get before Logan grabs up the bat and rears back, clearly going to swing for my head this time. Oh boy, this is gonna smart, I have a feeling. And out of some primal instinct, I close my eyes, readying to absorb the blow when I hear... click. And for the second time tonight, there is the sound of a Kalashnikov rifle being cocked. I open my eyes, and the question I had about how far Ricky would let Logan go before blowing his cover is answered. Logan snaps his head around to find Ricky there, weapon drawn. Logan scoped the fuck out with nowhere to run. "Strike three," I say. Probably unnecessarily. Logan stares at Ricky for a second, and then just drops the bat. In the movies, there's always lots of talking and explaining in a situation like this.
"Ricky, what the hell are you doing? Don't move, Logan. Richard Martinez, DEA, you're done. Ricky, you bastard, you betrayed me."
And shit like that. But in the real world, like now, Logan knows he's been played. He knows who's DEA and who ain't. And he knows he stands a way better chance of beating some kind of drug rap in court than he does of dealing with the blowback from trying to kill a fucking undercover DEA agent. Beyond that, he knows that there's a fucking assault rifle like 5 feet from his chest, and making a thing out of it right now isn't going to help him a whole lot. Ricky pulls a key from his pocket and hands it to Logan, keeping the gun drawn on him the whole time. He says something to him in Spanish, which is odd to me. It's like, dude, you've blown your cover. Just drop the shit and talk in a way everybody here can understand already. And Logan comes over to uncuff me from the wall.
"Dude,"
I whisper in Logan's face. "I'm gonna say this just to say it. If Maddie's not exactly the way she was when I last saw her, I'm gonna rip your uncle's head off his shoulders and then bring him back in here to beat you to death with it." Logan doesn't say anything, which is fine. I mean, really, what do you say to something like that? So, once he releases my wrists, we finish the drill. I spin him around, lock him up, which looks a little more painful because he's shorter than I am, so the cuffs stretch him out a little further. Hey, not my fault. And then turn to Ricky and ask, "Why the fuck are we still standing here?" "Because there are men all over the fucking place. You have to stay here with him." "What? Shut the front door, fucker! No way, you stay! You will get shot if you go out there alone. They don't know who the fuck I am! Which is exactly the point!"
Touché.
"Well, tough shit," I say. "I'm going with you." Ricky screws his mouth up like he's about to protest more, but he's met me. He knows he's not going to win this argument. He nods in acquiescence. "Hand me my bag," I say. He does. I open it up and start riffling through.
"What are you looking for?" he asks.
I don't answer, just keep searching. I'm looking for something to shove in Logan's mouth to keep him from shouting once we're both gone and he's here all chained up. I find the roll of duct tape that I have in there, but I need something else. It never works just to slap tape on a person's mouth. Another fallacy of the movies, you can use your tongue to eventually work it free. If you want to gag someone properly, you have to stuff something else in their mouth first. Unfortunately, all the t-shirts I had got burned up with chocolate thunder, and the only other stuff I have in the sack is like rope, a couple of MREs, a flashlight, you know, survival shit. I had some gauze in the car, but I forgot to pull it out, and now it's burned up too. And then I realize, I do have the perfect thing to stuff in his ugly maw. I pull Maddie's panties out of my pocket, grab up the duct tape, and get right in Logan's face again.
"Honestly, man, you don't even deserve the privilege of having Maddie's dried pussy juice in your mouth, but since it's Christmas and all..."
Once Maddie's panties are safely taped up inside Logan's cake hole, and I'm sure that the gagging and snuffling he's doing is just him being a baby and not him actually choking to death, although I could give a shit, really, but Ricky's being a bitch about it, I turn to Ricky and say, I'll fuck you up later. Where is she?
She's likely with Carlos, and you need to calm the fuck down. Jesus. You two are exactly alike.
Again, I'll take that as a compliment.
And calm the fuck down? Dude, I know that you set Maddie up.
What are you talking about?
You've been using her this whole time?
I've... What?
Ricky asks, either genuinely confused or genuinely faking it.
What Dick Sniffer said?
I point at Logan, in case there was any ambiguity about who Dick Sniffer is.
You fuckers were selling drones and shit and you roped her in?
That doesn't even make sense.
Doesn't it?
Does it? Shit, now he's got me confused.
Brother,
Ricky says, which again ruffles my feathers, but whatever.
Yeah, we were trying to get intel from setting up the drone op, but the fact that Maddie happened to be drone shopping while we were running it is just bad luck. She was working for Castillo when she stumbled in there.
I know, man.
But that's just the way it goes. That wasn't us. She started working at Pete's because she saw a flyer in the fucking drone place.
Again, man, I know. Probably some intel about Carlos's history with Pete. That's a lead we were following. But also, again, just a coincidence.
So when the fuck did you find out about her?
First time I ever heard about Maddie Clayton was the night you and I met. That was the first time I got sent on a run with him.
He lifts his chin to Logan.
That was when I knew I had finally earned some fucking trust in the organization. But honestly, now that I've met you and Maddie, I wish it had taken me a little longer. Because then I might still be able to do my job instead of having the last year and a half of work blown the fuck up.
Yeah, well, that's what I do. I make shit explode. Ironically. I shake my head a little.
No. No, there's no way that
all this shit that's happening is just fucked up bad luck.
He takes a deep breath, lets it out.
I know. But it is. I don't know what to tell you, man. Not everything always happens for a reason. Sometimes things just happen.
I don't know how many times and in how many different ways the universe is going to conspire to teach me the same damn lesson. But it sure keeps fucking trying.
Come on, man,
he says after a beat.
Let's go get Maddie.
I snap out of my brief stupor, nod, and head for the door. He stops me.
Hold up.
He grabs me and pulls me to his side. It needs to look like I'm bringing you to Carlos or we won't make it 5 feet. I nod and let him take me by the arm. And then it occurs to me to say, hey, he looks at me. I'm sorry I blew your cover. He laughs a little and shakes his head.
You didn't.
I did. I had to. I knew you'd let Logan fucking beat you to death before you'd say anything.
Yeah, well,
what can I tell you? I'm kind of stupid. He opens the door and pushes me out into the hall as he laughs and says,
yeah, I know. Everybody says so.
Chapter 24. Maddie. I'm shaking. Physically. I don't know if it's anger or terror, but it's probably both. Carlos is touching my chin, moving my mouth up and down.
Yes, that's right. Chew. Chew every bite. Don't want you to choke.
Fucking sadist. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking about his daughter. Where is she? Why isn't she here? Why wasn't she at his other house? It's Christmas. And I realized that when I asked him if he killed her because of the way she betrayed his trust, he never answered me. And although it's almost unthinkable, I am thinking it. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Madison, 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 he says, now moving back to the table. What are we going to do?
I don't respond.
I mean, on the one hand, I do like you. I like you very, very much. I appreciated that you were, I thought, truthful with me. You did not throw yourself into my arms and profess to love me. You made it, what's the word, plausible.
Yes,
It was plausible. I believed that you were here because you wanted a chance to escape your life. That terrible life of yours. He stands by the champagne glass that may or may not have dissolved knockout drug in it. Your brother dead. Your family gone. Your every attempt at a success, nothing but failure. A 25-year-old girl taking off her clothes for money and still not able to get by. It seemed that no matter what you tried, you could not help yourself. So it made sense to me that you would want someone strong who could take care of you. He picks up the flute. Oh shit, is he going to drink it? Is the pill dissolved in it? Will it knock him out? Shit, I guess I'll find out soon. But the truth is, you were just allowing yourself to be used as a pawn in another way. Honestly, that would not have bothered me. If I had found out that you had been manipulated by the DEA, that would not surprise me. Despite your show of strength, you are weak, and they are powerful. It is not your fault. You are a woman. Women are simply weaker than men, and it is so easy to bend a weak woman's will. So, if it was only that you had been cooperating with the DEA all this time...
But I wasn't...
Shut up! When someone who is generally quiet screams, it's not nice. In this brief time with him, it's easy to see how he became as powerful as he is. He's unpredictable, and if unpredictability doesn't get you killed, it makes you strong. Which is why I'm not even attempting to correct him with all the weak woman shit, because he should think that as much as he likes. I am confused about the DEA thing, however. He obviously doesn't know what he thinks he knows, or Ricky would be dead right now. And then I realize, I don't know that he's not. I don't know that Tyler's not either. And I have no idea what's going to happen next, but I know for sure that someone in this room is going to die tonight. And I plan to do everything in my power to see to it that it's not me.
But it is not just that you were lying to me.
He stands in front of me with a glass of champagne.
It's that you fucked someone else, as you said. Here, at my home, under my nose, while I waited for you to come to me. I will be honest with you.
He pokes me in the forehead with his index finger to punctuate each word of the following.
That does not sit well.
He grabs my face and squeezes my cheeks. Again,
not well at all.
And then he lifts the glass of champagne, and he drinks it. Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to go ahead and assume the pill dissolved and didn't magically rescue itself from the champagne glass. We'll find out, I suppose. He throws the empty champagne flute onto the floor, and it smashes at my feet. I don't jump.
So, what are we to do now?
He asks, walking away, turning back to look at me when I don't immediately answer.
About what? About you and me. The truth is that we have your boyfriend, he says pointedly, the drone pilot. He is the one we want the information from, so I don't really need you, do I?
I say nothing.
I mean, I could see what it is you might be able to tell me, but truthfully, knowing you as I do, I would have to torture you to get anything out of you, and I don't want to do that.
He comes back toward me, bends down and lifts my dress, drawing his hand up my leg and along my thigh as he does. And again, I'm still not wearing fucking underwear. He stands and lands his cheek against mine, putting his mouth by my ear. The base of his palm is resting against the edge of my pussy.
Everything I have said to you, I have meant. I have not felt about a woman the way I feel about you in 35 years. If we can get the information we need from your Tyler, then it is possible that you and I can discuss options that allow you to live. Otherwise, I'm afraid that, even though I don't want to hurt you, you may force me to. Isn't it funny? You and I are always having to negotiate new terms when our original contracts are broken.
And he wraps his mouth around my earlobe as his fingers clumsily fumble between my legs. Shit. I close my eyes and stiffen up my entire body as tautly as I can
in preparation for engaging in the deadly martial art known as being Maddie Clayton. And then, wham, Carlos's body hits the floor. Holy fucking shit. It worked. Thank you, Ricky 007. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Okay, now think. Think. I can't just waltz out of here. I had one shot to do that, and they found me and brought me back. No doubt this whole fucking mini-city is going to be on the lookout for me. Think. What to do. On the other side of the room is a fireplace. It's all lit up and roaring. All holiday festive. And as I stare into the fire, I think of Pete. And I think of firefighter Jeff. And I think of Scotty. And I also think this may be my one shot to get out of here. I snap into action, pulling the tablecloth off the table and letting all the dishes go crashing to the floor. Shit, I should be more careful. But this place is so massive, presumably nobody can hear me. Or maybe they'll just think it's reindeer or something. Grabbing up the cloth, I dip it into the fire and it goes up almost immediately. Must be silk or some shit. Keeping the flame as far from me as possible, I run to touch it to the area rugs and the tapestries hanging from the walls. Anything I can find that's flammable. Fuck, I hope this works. And just as I toss the burning cloth onto one of the lush, upholstered side chairs, the door creaks open and I hear, "Ife?" God damn it. "Help! Help!" I shout. "Someone's here! Someone came in and..." "Tyler?"
"Hey, Mads," he says, poking his head in. "Looks like you got a little fire in here."
Ricky pushes Tyler into the room. He's holding a gun. He looks around and says,
"Jesus Christ, what the fuck did you do?"
"I don't know. I was trying to get the place evacuated, or create a distraction, or I thought, I don't know. I'm a little freaked out, and honestly, who fucking cares? Can we go?" Tyler looks down and sees Carlos.
"Is that Castillo? What the fuck did you do to him, babe? Did you fuck him up?"
He asks this with far too much glee, I think. "He," I nod at Ricky, "gave me some kind of partially insoluble fucking knockout drug. Thanks for that, by the way. Would have been nice to have a heads up that the shit would take like a month to dissolve."
"Jesus," says Ricky. "Okay, look, grab him and let's get the fuck out of here."
"Fuck that," says Tyler. "Leave him. Let the fucker burn."
"My job is to bring the bad guys in, not burn them the fuck up."
I reach out and touch Tyler's arm. "Ty," he looks at me. "He's right. We can't... not like this." I gesture to the spreading flames, which are really spreading now. "We seriously need to get the hell out of here." Tyler still seems unsure. Ricky says,
"Hey, if it makes you feel better, I'll never get you two past the gate without him. At this point, our best shot is to use him to keep us safe."
"You mean a human shield?" Tyler says.
"I was thinking more like a negotiating tool, but sure. Know what? Let's just at least get the hell out of this burning room."
Ricky goes to lift Carlos, but Tyler pushes him away and grabs Carlos up over his shoulders into a fireman's carry. And then he does something I've never seen him do. He winces, like he's in pain. One hand grabs at his ribs. "Babe," I say, "you okay?"
"Yep,"
he grunts.
"Too good."
Then he winks and says to Ricky,
"Lead the way."
Chapter 25. Tyler. Either this son of a bitch is heavier than he looks, or else Logan really did manage to put some work in on my ribs. Shit hurts. But no rest for the weary, as some asshole once said. I feel like old Saint Nick himself, carrying a present for all the good girls and boys of the DEA. I realize that Maddie has yet to get any active intel that helps shut down the operation, but if Carlos is in custody, then that leaves Logan to run things, and with that taint griddler in charge, I imagine they can bring down this show in about 5 minutes. Saint Nick. I wonder if that makes me Saint Tyler. I like the ring of that. But the clause notwithstanding, most motherfuckers only achieve sainthood posthumously, so I don't know if I should be gunning for it so enthusiastically. Regardless, these are the thoughts running through my head to keep my mind off the amount of unexpected pain I'm in at the moment.
We approach the first corner in the hallway and Ricky peeks around to make sure the coast is clear. Just as a fire alarm goes off loud as fuck from wherever. Shit, says Ricky. And looking back, I see smoke billowing out of the room Maddie lit up. I'm half stunned that she did it, and half super proud of her. But both of those feelings are overtaken by a much stronger one. Paralysis. Something about the smoke and the alarm and hauling this body. Nadir. The explosion that killed Nadir and the other guys wasn't the one that got me. I mean, it was, but not exactly. It was like a chain event. Nadir and the other guys caught the first blast. And when I grabbed him and threw him over my shoulders to haul him out of the combat zone to a dust-off location, that's when I triggered the blast that nailed me. No one has ever come right out and said it, but I know that the reason I survived is because I was carrying him. His body acted as a mini-blast wall and absorbed enough of the discharge so that no heavy shrapnel hit my vital organs. I just know it. I was pinned down, though, held there for however long. I don't know. Just what they told me. It wasn't the blast itself that fucked me up so much as the fire, I guess. Nadir's charred body and whatever other burning shit was lying on me. I don't plan to ever tell Maddie that stuff. And then, as if waking from a deep sleep, I hear the far-off sound of, Tyler? Maddie's voice. And I blink myself back. Are you okay? She asks. The concerned look on her face breaks my heart. Yeah, fucking killing it. Locked, cocked, and ready to rock. Where's the party? And shit like that. I'm not sure how many tired, macho, wartime cliches I spew, but finally she just smiles, stands on her toes, and kisses my cheek. And then we're on the move again. Once we round the corner, Ricky throws his fist up. I am more than familiar with the signal to halt progress. Maddie, not so much, and because she's glancing worriedly back at me, she kind of rams into Ricky. Why are we... she starts, but stops when she sees what Ricky sees. Four armed guards up ahead, all talking in Spanish and pointing in different directions. They haven't seen us yet. The alarm is blaring all over the place, but the fire appears to still be contained to the room. Although, at the rate it was spreading, that won't be true for long. Fuck, Carlos is getting heavy. I bounce to adjust him over my shoulders, and I can feel my ribs pinch. I try not to let it show on my face. The house slash hotel slash village slash wherever the fuck we are looks like a Mediterranean architect partied too hard with a Spanish-style interior designer and they threw up everywhere. So there's arches and alcoves and shit all over the place. Ricky pushes us inside one such alcove and says, "Stay here." We step back, just out of eyesight from the hallway, and when Maddie presses against me, it makes me forget for a second about all the pain and the weight of carrying Carlos and all of it, and Chucky Stiff says hi.
Are you kidding me right now?
Maddie asks in response to the sensation of feeling my throbbing hard-on pressing against her ass. I shrug a, what are you gonna do, shrug, and she rolls her eyes. Fuck, I love her so much. I slide past her so I can peer around the edge of the alcove and down the hall, and what I see is, well, it's some shit, all right. Ricky approaches the four dudes speaking Spanish to them, and then points back to where we are. I pull my head back into the shadows as they all look this way, but manage to keep one eye on the five of them. And what that one eye sees is some fucking next-level super soldier nonsense. Ricky laughs and bends down like he's tying his boots, and when he pops back up, he's holding a fucking bush knife he pulled from an ankle sheath. He slices the throats of the two dudes standing next to him with one sweeping motion, stabs the next guy in the chest twice before he can move, then breaks the fourth dude's arm, pins him to the ground, and steps on his neck and snaps it. I can't believe I fucking knocked this guy out. Holy shit. He looks back, giving me the sign for don't fucking move, runs out of sight for like 20 seconds, and then comes running back down the hall to where we are. Okay, he says, not even fucking winded. What you did may have worked. He addresses that to Maddie. What do you mean? She asks. I told the primary strike team that you and Carlos are missing and that this wing is on fire. I directed half of them to go look for you and the rest to deal with the fire. But then, she starts. Ricky shakes his head.
I directed them to run around the long way, told them this way was getting blocked off.
Jesus, I say. That's pretty fucking Finn.
Yeah, says Mr. Super Soldier. Finn like starting a fucking fire? Or Finn more like showing up at the compound of one of the five biggest drug traffickers in the world armed with nothing but a goddamn drone? Finn like those?
Fair enough. Let's go. We got maybe 5 minutes, says Ricky.
And then we're on the move again.
Chapter 26. Maddie. I can tell Tyler's in pain. I should have a million other concerns, but that's the one that's gnawing at me right now. I can see he's hurting, hauling Carlos along, and I hate it. I want to be able to heal him, make him well and whole, and transport us out of here. But I can't. So we keep on. Just as we get to a door that exits out into wherever, Ricky stops.
As soon as we get out of here, we may encounter some resistance.
He looks at Tyler.
Stay behind me with Carlos and Maddie. You stay on Tyler 6. I'm hoping if they see we've got their boss, we'll be able to get past the main gate and out of here without any shots being fired.
Can't you call in the cavalry? Like, I don't know, air support or something, however shit works? I ask. He shakes his head.
Again, almost nobody knows about this op or that I'm here, and we can't trust the local cops. Besides, it's Christmas.
So?
DEA agents take holidays off and shit too, he says.
Like it's the most obvious thing in the world. Jesus Christ.
What they're celebrating, he says.
Tyler laughs at that. I look at him under arched eyebrows.
What? Shit was funny. Good for you, Ricky Super Soldier. I didn't think you had a sense of humor.
Why do I suddenly feel like I'm at a goddamned keg party?
I've already called the one person I can call.
She's arranging with the Mexican embassy to get a plane to pick us up at El Cipres. It's only about 3 clicks out. We just have to get there.
Where's your car?
Ricky asks Tyler. Tyler doesn't say anything, just stands there, shifting the still unconscious Carlos around on his shoulders and trying to act like he isn't hurt in some way. Ty? I follow up.
What's that now?
He asks. Your car, Ty. Where's your car? He gnaws at his lower lip for a moment before saying,
Know how you just started a fire to create a distraction?
Yeah?
I mean, you aren't the only person who had that idea.
He winces as he adjusts Carlos again.
Dude, says Ricky, was that your car they found burning across the road? Had to find a way to get the gate guard's attention.
Tyler stares at the ground. Damn. Even with the muscles and the beard and bad attitude, sometimes Tyler Morgan can look like a 5-year-old who just got caught drawing on the living room wall.
Fuck me, Ricky says on side breaths. What is wrong with you two?
Okay, whatever, I snap. No car, way it is. So what do we do now? Ricky rubs the barrel of the gun he's still holding against his temple, which makes me nervous as hell. But I guess he's just thinking.
When we walk out of here, we'll be at the fueling station. I've only been down here once before, but it was to pick up one of the trucks. It had the keys just sitting in the ignition. If we're lucky, that's protocol, and we'll grab one of those.
Then what? I ask.
Then we'll drive a big fucking fuel truck through the front gate and hope that we can get the hell out of here and to the airstrip before we're all caught and murdered.
He doesn't say it with resounding confidence. He says it like it's the absolute worst of a very limited number of already bad options. But it's the only one we have left, so we have no choice. Or, I guess we have the choice to just wait here to die.
What about him?
Tyler asks, bouncing Carlos and grimacing.
We bring him with us,
answers Ricky. What about the cops? I ask.
El Cipres is a military airport. We should be okay.
Should? I ask, with still more mounting incredulity.
Hey, fire starters, he shouts unexpectedly. This is what we got to work with.
Tyler and I both mumble, okay, yeah, sure, fine, in no particular order. Ricky nods. Tyler adjusts Carlos and scrunches up his face, and I wish all of a sudden I was wearing panties, as we push open the door and head outside.
Chapter 27. Tyler. I hope to fuck one of these trucks has keys in it, because I don't know how much longer I can keep carrying this fucking guy. I mean, I do. As long as I have to is the answer, but I'd love to let him go sooner than later. Nobody is immediately visible outside, so we gallop. They gallop, I lumber. By the fueling islands toward one of the trucks. This place is kind of amazing. If you didn't know it was owned by just one guy to operate his shitty criminal empire, you might think it was a small town all of its own. The fuel pumps are decorated with tinsel and lights and shit, just like it's any old gas station anywhere. They're probably about 50 feet away from me when they get to the nearest truck. Ricky jumps up into the cab and looks inside. Fuck! He shouts. Nope! He hops down and runs to another truck to keep looking. Maddie trails alongside him, her hair and dress blowing in the night breeze. She looks like something out of an old movie. Like Rita Hayworth and Gilda. Only instead of in black and white, she's in full living Technicolor. And I have this thought. I'm going to marry this woman. Which is fucking nuts. We still have so much shit to work out, both between us and, I have a feeling, within ourselves. I don't know if she does, but I sure as hell do. We knew each other once, but there's so much filling in and catching up that still has to be done, and we've barely started. I never thought in a million years I'd ever want to see somebody's dumb face every morning for the rest of my life, much less marry it. But I want to see her dumb face every second of every day forever. Because it's not dumb. It's perfect. And, oh, yeah, we're trying to escape the clutches of a murderous drug lord and his army of men right now, so marrying somebody is the last thing that should be entering my stupid, broken, crazy, rambling, tortured thoughts. But it is. And just like when I thought of her when I set my apartment on fire, still haven't told her that. Again, lots to fill each other in on. Thinking of her and about her and marrying her gives me peace. Standing back, watching her run around in the night, looking for a way to find literally the key to our salvation. I can see nothing else. Which I also mean literally. Because if I had been paying attention, I might have seen the bat swinging toward me a beat sooner, and I might have been able to avoid it before it came crashing into my already bruised and breaking rib cage.
Chapter 28. Maddie. We have to hurry. I hate that I say it the second it leaves my lips. Because it's the kind of thing dumb bitches say in movies and TV shows when some guy who's writing it thinks that it's what women say when they're panicked or whatever. But we do have to hurry. So fuck it. Finally, from inside the cab of the third truck Ricky checks, he turns back, holding a set of keys, and shouts, "Got it. Let's go." I breathe out the breath I didn't even realize I was holding, and turn to Tyler to shout, "Come on!" But I don't actually get the words out, because before I can, I see Logan, an insane look on his beaten face, and what appear to be handcuffs with the chains hanging off them attached to his wrists, swinging a baseball bat hard at Tyler's ribs. It makes contact, and Tyler fights to stay standing, trying to keep Carlos on his shoulders, but he can't. He drops to his knees, letting him slide off and land on the ground beside him. It's almost like he's working to deliver Carlos daintily to the earth like a child being put into bed, rather than just dropping him and letting his carcass crash down to the concrete. And I probably can't, but I think I can hear the sound of the bat making contact with Tyler's side all the way over by where I'm standing. I know I can't actually feel it, since it isn't happening to me, except I can. And it is. "Ty!" I scream and start for him, but Ricky pulls me back. Just in time, too, because I neglected to take into account the half-dozen armed men with Logan, all of whom are now pointing assault rifles in our direction. Ricky drags me around behind the passenger side of the truck we have the keys for and presses my back against the tire. "Do not fucking move," he says. And before I can say anything, he's pinned himself to the front fender, rifle at the ready, and is shouting at Logan.
Hermano, no lo hagas. Fuck you, Logan shouts back in English. You fucking DEA dog, cockroach rat motherfucker.
So much for negotiating, I guess. And that's when the shooting starts. The sound of bullets hitting metal and echoing around makes it hard to even know where the shots are being fired from. I have no idea if Ricky has another gun, or more ammo or what, but it doesn't matter. It feels like the whole goddamned world is shooting at us right now. I cover my head, which is dumb, but I do it anyway, and peer around the truck tire to see if I can make out what's happening with Tyler. It's not good. He's curled up in a ball, but Logan is fucking wailing on him, and each strike he lands feels like a shot to my gut, my spirit, my heart. I want to help him. I want to race to him. I have to fight every instinct in my body that tells me to run and help.
Fuck, bitch. I don't know what to tell you.
The devil. On Christmas. Awesome. Scarleton. Angel? Scarleton? What the hell? It's a hybrid of Scarlet and Madison. Not the point right now. Listen, you can't. You can't go. You'll do nothing but sacrifice yourself and he'll still die.
Shit, Devil says. Feather Pussy and I might actually agree on something. But, you know, self-preservation is my shit, so...
I look at Tyler being beaten like Logan is a cruel child and Tyler is a turtle he found, and I start crying. Not sobbing, just crying. Because the worst fucking thing in the world is watching somebody you love suffer and knowing that there isn't a single goddamned thing you can do about it. I know exactly what that feels like. Maddie, the angel says. What? I think. You could pray.
What?
That's me and the devil at the same time. Pray. To what? I silently scream. To who? It doesn't matter. Whoever. There are 3,500 different gods that people believe in around the world. Pick one. Or just pray to the universe. All prayer is the transference of your life energy out into the world. The world is nothing but energy, and you're part of it, and Tyler's part of it, and you two are powerful together. I know you can feel that. So just send your power and your energy in his direction and see what happens. This is the dumbest fucking shit I've ever heard. I'm not sure if that's me or the devil. Maybe, says the angel, but from where I'm sitting, chick, it looks like you're about out of moves. For fucks. I can't be sure, but it's possible a bullet may have just grazed the ground where I'm sitting. So, fuck it. I close my eyes. I try to tune out everything, which is impossible, but I give it my best shot. I don't even know how to start, or what to say, or who to say it to. So I just think of Tyler. I think of us as kids. I think of the scar that he gave me. And the selling smiles goldfish thing. And of summer vacations and birthday parties and Christmases all together. And I think of us now. And I imagine us in the future, old and wrinkled and holding each other's hands as we walk through the park. And old wrinkly Tyler trying to slip his old wrinkly hand down to touch my old wrinkly ass. I really see it. I imagine it with all my might. I try to wish it into being with every bit of force and strength and mountain climber's will I have inside me. And that's when the explosion happens.
Jesus Christ!
Ricky shouts, falling backwards, pulling me with him and landing on top of me.
What's happening?
I scream. What the fuck happened?
I don't know.
Shit is raining down from the sky all around us. There's a massive eruption where one of the fuel pump islands was a second ago. And I can't see anyone shooting at us anymore, because I can't see anything. Nothing but a raging wall of flames.
Tyler!
I scream. I think. I can't hear anything anymore. Not because of the explosion, but because the whole world just ended, and, as I know from science class, there's no sound when you're lost, floating endlessly in space. The angel is full of shit. She's been full of shit this whole time. Maybe everyone is and always has been, so why should she be any different? There is no God, no universal power that holds things together and makes shit make sense. There's no nothing. There is pain and suffering and the tearing away of everything you come to love, and then it all just starts all over again. Not for me. Not anymore. I'm fucking done. I push Ricky off me, grab the rifle from his unsuspecting grip, and stand and round the front of the truck, ready to walk through fire and kill everyone still standing on the other side. But I don't